From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's Hope for a Golden Summer. This Athens, Georgia-based trio has been built up over the last 10 years around the beautiful harmonies of sisters Claire and Paige Campbell. They have a brand new album called Life Inside the Body that will be available for everyone on May 1st.
On this album, the art and the music is just like a lot of other people's albums, is about love. But also, Paige and I are baby crazy, so there's a lot of talk, some of it metaphorical, I think, in the album, but about babies and...
There's lots of babies in the art.
Sex and love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, there's other themes running through there, like poverty and things that we deal with, but yeah.
Coming up, it's Hope for a Golden Summer. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. This week, we welcome back Chet Williamson from Creative Works of Lancaster for another installment of Codpiece, with a look at rare and classic films.
After my last review of two grim films, Vertigo and Red Dragon, I promised I'd go easy on you. So let's look at a different genre of film, and one that isn't produced much today. They started in the 1930s and were called screwball comedies, because that's exactly what they were. Off the wall, zany, farcical, with hilarious repartee and a lot of semi-romantic situations. The film critic Andrew Saris once described screwball comedy as a sex comedy without the sex. The first true screwball comedy is probably It Happened One Night, but some other classics are My Man Godfrey, The Lady Eve, His Girl Friday, and The Philadelphia Story, all of which I recommend. But the funniest screwball comedy of all has to be 1938's Bringing Up Baby, directed by Howard Hawks and starring Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant, and a leopard named Baby. Grant, who could be one of the funniest men in the movies, plays an absent-minded paleontologist who looks like a handsome Stan Laurel in Harry Potter glasses. His main concern is getting the final bone, an intercosta clavicle, onto the Brontosaurus skeleton he's reconstructing. Unfortunately for him, and fortunately for us, he meets Kate Hepburn on a golf course, where hilarity ensues and follows them into the parking lot, when Hepburn demonstrates her lack of driving skills on Grant's car. Women driver jokes are older than the movies themselves, but it's the way the scene reveals Hepburn's character, her impatience and lack of concern for whatever havoc she wreaks, that makes it uproarious. She's more dizzy-headed than Gracie Allen, but she's luminous as well, in a series of incredible outfits. They work brilliantly together, with Grant's muttered asides and Hepburn's non-sequiturs, but the comedy is physical as well as verbal. Grant was a master of the pratfall, and takes several of them, and even Hepburn takes a beauty. The script moves effortlessly from one hilarious gag to the next. Hawk's direction is letter perfect, and there's a fun supporting cast, with such 30s stalwarts as Charles Ruggles, Barry Fitzgerald, and Asta, the dog from the Thin Man series, contributing to the laughs. And laugh you will. The film is so funny it's exhausting, and it does it without a single fart joke. Yes, boys and girls, it is possible to do a full-length comedy without a single naughty word or blue joke, as they were known back then, and have it be funnier than any of today's films with Jonah Hill, Kristen Wiig, or Zach the Fat Greek Dude. Okay, that's the classic, Bringing Up Baby. But screwball comedies underwent a change and slowly morphed into romantic comedies, or rom-coms. You know what they're like, guys. They're the ones we don't let our girlfriends or wives drag us to. They usually star Julia Roberts or J-Lo or Katherine Heigl, and most guys would be caught dead and stuffed in one. Here's the good news. My sleeper this time is one romantic comedy that men and women can both enjoy, and it's actually a screwball comedy because it's about baseball. And even though it's a screwball comedy, it's a sex comedy with the sex, and great sex it is. It's 1988's Bull Durham, a film that should be watched more than it is today. There are great performances by Kevin Costner as Crash Davis, the savvy veteran minor league catcher, Tim Robbins, the dim-witted rookie pitching whiz, and Susan Sarandon at her hottest as Annie, who doles out her sexual favors to one player per season. There are moments of pure hilarity and episodes of pure romanticism, as when Crash relates to Annie a litany of things he believes in, ending with, "I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night." Needless to say, Annie is impressed. You'll be too, no matter what your sex, and no matter if you love baseball or you don't. Bull Durham, written and directed by Ron Shelton, and Bringing Up Baby. Netflix has them both, so what are you waiting for? Go have yourself a good laugh with some dinosaurs and screwballs.
That's Chet Williamson from Creative Works of Lancaster with this week's film picks. You can keep up with Chet at chetwilliamson.com or follow him on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget to check out Creative Works of Lancaster at creativelancaster.org to stay in the loop. Well, the Launch Music Conference is in the books, and this year Woodstove House has partnered with our friends at Tri-State Indy to interview a number of bands from around the country who are visiting Lancaster to showcase at the conference. Look for several Launch interviews on Around the Woodstove and Tri-State Indy over the next few weeks. Tri-State Indy is your source for daily local and independent music news covering the Mid-Atlantic region and far beyond. Find Tri-State online at tristateindy.com. That was a track called Tucson from Hope for a Golden Summer from their brand new album Life Inside the Body. Hope visited Lancaster last week to perform at a Woodstove House concert while on a tour of the Northeast to support the new album. The band is made up of sisters Claire and Paige Campbell along with multi-instrumentalist Patrick Morales. We sat down before the show to chat about the new album and what has inspired the sisters over the years. So you've been on the road for about a week supporting this new album, and the album will be officially released on May 1st. That'll be on the internet, I assume, right? iTunes and all that stuff.
It'll definitely be on iTunes.
Well, we, including Patrick, also has a band called The Viking Progress. And his band and our band and about five other bands in Athens started an artist-run record label. And the reason we did it was to get distribution.
Oh, okay.
Because it's really difficult to get physical distribution if you don't have a record label.
Right.
So this album will actually... there's a distributor called Darla, and so everyone's albums will go into their catalog, and record stores can order them. And then we're using a different digital distributor. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it all comes... the reason we're able to do those things is because we started a label.
That's a great idea.
It's basically a front in order to get distribution.
Does that have anything to do with it being on iTunes or anything?
I mean, you can get your music on iTunes through a lot of different...
But were you saying like you could get it different in a different place as well?
Yes. Really,
okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a great idea, though. Mm-hmm. And these are all Athens bands, or...?
All Athens. Mm-hmm. And we all have sort of things. We all try to pitch in and do things that a label would do. But essentially, every artist is responsible for all the upfront costs.
Yeah.
Like, because the label is nonprofit.
Okay.
You know, the artist puts all of their money into it and keeps any money that they make from it.
That's great. So it's like a co-op.
Basically, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And this album will be released that way. This is called Life Inside the Body.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your fourth album, third official studio
mm-hmm.
Yes.
album. Let's talk about the recording of this record. Suni Lyons made this album, and I know that he is in the band,
mm-hmm.
But not on tour with you this time.
Right.
Let's talk about the process of making the album. Take me through that. How did you decide to use to have Suni recorded, and then what was it like to work with him?
Well, it's one of the reasons that the album took so long to finish is that when the person recording it is in your band and is charging you a very cut rate in order to record your album, you sort of lose track of time.
We're also very revisionist, so
yeah.
We just don't want to look back and wish we had, you know, made a change here or there. So we really, like, we take a long time to keep going back and make sure everything's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And Suni is a perfectionist as well,
yes.
So, you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, as part of the band, I think we would just go back and forth about things for
yeah.
long periods of time.
And also, you know, we're recording digitally, and it, as you know, it both saves time and also opens up a gigantic world of possibilities that
it really
take a
is.
Lot of time if you want
yeah.
to start exploring them all.
And Patrick and I were just talking about this, like, in Hope, we never record to a click track. And so for the engineer, it's really difficult to go back and comp or add things in and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff
mm-hmm.
after we've recorded the basic tracks, because they're not necessarily going to stay in the same, you know, time exactly as they started. So that can be a little, you know, mm-hmm. add some time to the process.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's done, and it's a great album.
But it's done.
And here it comes. the album cover and the other album covers are filled with wonderful illustrations. Mm-hmm. Who's responsible for those?
Not me. That's Claire saying, not me. It's Paige, and then our old bandmate, Deb, when she was
yeah.
in the band.
This album is just mine. Deb has done a lot of art for our other albums, but we didn't really... She's also very busy
yeah.
with art, so we didn't really ask her to take any time out for that this time around.
On this album, the art and the music is just, like a lot of other people's albums, is about love. But also, Paige and I are baby crazy, so there's a lot of
yeah.
talk, some of it metaphorical, I think, in the album, but about... babies and...
There's lots of babies in the art.
Sex and love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, there's other themes running through there, like poverty and things that we deal with, but yeah.
Here's Day Glow Gray from Hope for a Golden Summer on Around the Wood Stove.
It's a day glow.
Talk about some of the songs on the album. There's one that we've been playing a lot around here, Strange Skies, that I'd like to hear the story behind. It's a
every
great
time someone says it, I think it sounds like Strange Guys, which is sort of like another good name for it.
Strange Guys.
Strange Guys.
It's my favorite song on the album.
The video that you shot for it, that's on your website, it's a great version, a great video.
I like that video too. Yeah. They did a great job.
It was one of those things that when I was thinking about having you guys play, I watched that and said definitely.
Oh,
so it worked really well. So marketing 101, right?
Right, exactly.
Getting gigs in small Pennsylvania town homes.
Exactly.
Make a video in a studio. Mm-hmm. Talk about that song for a little bit. Tell me about it.
Let's see. Well, I don't write songs a lot. I mean, I write a lot of musical, instrumental things, but I don't often write lyrics that I like or finish. So that one was after a long dry spell. And I would say that I ended up in a relationship, which I'm still in now. That was probably I didn't realize what a real relationship was until I was in this. And I'm sort of a serial monogamist, but this was for reals. And then I started ruminating on the fact that when you really start to like be in a serious relationship with someone where there are actual commitments and expectations and it's very adult, you know, you don't always know what you're getting into. Like when this person finally opens up to you or what it really means to love somebody or care about them, you just never know what you're going to get. And you sort of have to take it as it comes and things come up. You're like, really? You think that? Or you did that? Or what? You know, and there's just a lot of diving in and you just stick with it because you love them, you know, and it's totally worth it. So I think that that's kind of what that's about to me.
Diving down in the deep dark waters of your lover's soul, how will you know what you found? The water is wide and the sand is soft and the darker place is cold, too deep to turn it around. But on the inside, where the heart hides, under strange skies, if you're lost, will you just keep swimming? Riding around on the free and the highways of your lover's world, there ain't no map you will find. But if you wanna know more about her than the stories that she's told, lean back and trust her to drive. 'Cause on the outside I can see as the world keeps spinning.
That was Strange Skies from my guest Hope for a Golden Summer on Around the Wood Stove. How about the song Daniel Bloom?
Well, that song was written over a decade ago before Hope for a Golden Summer existed. And we just recently started performing it. And it is... So my friend Daniel Bloom lives in Athens. He's a philosophy professor. And at this, when that song was written, he and I were both still in school. I was studying religion and he was studying philosophy. And the way we met was he was playing hacky sack on UGA's grounds, and I thought he was really good at that, and so I'd introduced myself and we became friends, and we would hang out a lot. And at some point we started playing pool and making bets, and at some point we made a bet, and it was something about whether or not you could actually eat a cockroach and whether that would be a good thing for a person. Could it, like, you could eat it and it would be a source of protein, or would it make you sick? And I said that I thought that you could eat it just like any other bug and it would be fine. And he said he thought that you couldn't because it carried diseases. So anyways, the wager was that if you lost, you had to write a song for the other person and perform it in public. And of course I lost because I now know that cockroaches carry anthrax on their wings and other terrible
really?
Things like that. Yes. We had to go and research it at the UGA library. So anyhow, I wrote this song all about Daniel Bloom, and it talks about how curly his hair is and all sorts of things. And at that point, I also had a huge crush on him. And
he really did have a lot of hair.
He still does. And I performed it live on the radio the next time that I performed on the radio, which was a couple of weeks later. So the part that talks about Daniel Bloom was written back then. Then the first verse was a love letter that my old boyfriend in Charleston sent me, and I turned it into a song. So it's two different things squished together into one.
Here's Daniel Bloom from Hope for a Golden Summer on Around the Wood Stove.
This is a love letter because we all need them, and they come so rarely. I want to know, can I love you the same as before? My heart's strained out of loneliness. Oh, and my days are too long.
At the Woodstove House, we're always looking for your feedback. If you have any ideas about the show or would like to recommend an artist to be featured, drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com or leave a comment at the website. My guest today is Hope for a Golden Summer, talking about songs from their latest album, Life Inside the Body. How about the song Be Free? Who wrote that one?
I wrote that one. Be Free, let's see. I wrote a lot of songs when I was it's kind of alone and completely weirded out by men. And that was what that song is about. Just like all the craziness that, you know, that happens there. And feeling like people, I don't know, I guess a lot of my songs have the same theme from the last couple of years, but like in Strange Skies, I feel like a lot of that is about like, when you really care about someone, you kind of step back and you just let them be themselves, and then that's it, you know? And then you're going to love it, like, if you just stop trying to, like, control the situation. And in the in Be Free, I feel like it's sort of another view, I guess, because it's kind of looking at how people kind of want to have their cake and eat it, too, without actually... I don't know, Mom would say, drink the milk without... buying the cow or getting...
That's what Granddad would say.
Right. Whatever that is.
Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
At some point, as a woman, you know, you have to have standards where you're like, you know, I'm not going to give you, like, this big part of myself. I'm not talking about sex stuff, but I'm just saying in general. I'm not going to give you, like, this entrance into my life if you can't, you know, if it's not real, you know, and just, I don't know, people just preferring to, like... just stay a terminal bachelor so that they don't have to ever, mm-hmm. no one ever challenges them, basically. I think that's what that's about.
If you lost me tonight, do you know where I'd be? there's a different way, but you'd rather be free.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Playgrounds Theater on Site is happening this upcoming Lancaster Art Walk weekend. Playgrounds is the latest Wood Stove House public theater production. It's a set of three short plays that will be performed at three outdoor sites in Lancaster City during Lancaster Art Walk weekend on May 5th and 6th. The performances are free and open to the public, and the full set of plays will be performed three times over the weekend. They'll all start at Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster. After the first play, the audience will walk to the second location, the Shriner Concord Cemetery at the corner of Chestnut and Mulberry, for the second play. And then the audience will walk to the front of Fulton Elementary School at 225 West Orange Street for the final play. On Saturday, May 5th, the shows begin at 3:45 p.m. And on Sunday, May 6th, shows begin at 1:15 p.m. and then again at 3:45 p.m. Visit woodstovehouse.com/playgrounds for more details. And now back to our conversation with Hope for a Golden Summer. Do you prefer studio or stage?
I feel like in the studio, you're very, it's very solitary most of the time and very tedious. And the stage is very spontaneous and communal.
Goes by really fast,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll get off stage and I'll be like, I have no idea what just happened. I don't remember what songs we just played, but I had a great time. I know I felt good while I was there.
Right. And I think on stage, you can sort of like perform and you can feel good about what you did. In the studio, you can perform and feel good about what you did and then hear it back and be like, what? Like, that doesn't sound good at all, you know? So at least you don't have to confront that when you're playing on stage. You just put it out there and leave.
Whenever you play a bad show or there's like a bad audience or a bad venue,
that
feeling is far worse than anything you ever feel in the studio.
True.
I mean, that makes you want to just go
public home. Humiliation.
Yeah, public humiliation is not fun. It's terrible.
Especially when people paid money to
see it. Oh, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But tonight won't be like that.
Yeah, tonight. No. Great, Jason.
we're going to be awesome.
That's great. That's great to hear.
It's scaring him.
I'm sure it'll be a wonderful show. When Hope for a Golden Summer hits the road, what do you cue up on the iPod? What do you listen to in the car?
We've been listening to a lot of John Cale.
The band.
What else have we been listening to?
You sometimes put on Mountain Man.
Oh, yeah, I really like Mountain Man.
And I do, too. Let's see, who else?
They're awesome. I, like, always draw a blank when this question is asked, but we listen to lots of music.
Mm-hmm. Neil Young.
Yeah, a lot of Neil Young. Bob Dylan.
Let's go back to the beginning, though. Let's go back to the beginning of music. And, you know, we all had those records that made us realize as kids that, oh, wait a minute, like, I could do that. And I want to do that. At least musicians.
Yeah.
So what was that for you?
That's a really good question. I mean, we definitely grew up in a house with lots of music. And we would sing on stage with our dad, songs by the band, you know, they play cover songs and lots of old soul music and Sam and Dave and things like that. Lots of stuff with harmonies. And, but you know, I feel like it was a mix between that stuff. But see, that never made me feel like I could do it. I think Neutral Milk Hotel really made me feel like I could do that. Not that I'm as great a songwriter as he is or anything, but just it just sounded so lo-fi and raw, and he's just sitting there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I can do that. I can pick up a guitar and just, I don't need Levon Helm in my band to, you know, like, to be awesome.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. But I don't know. That's a really hard question for me, actually.
How about you, Clara? Was there something that stands out?
Yes. It was the soundtrack to the movie The Big Chill. We would listen to that.
We listened to it all the time.
We would listen to it all the time, but especially we would go to Folly Beach, South Carolina for 1 week every year, and we would always listen to that soundtrack and dance to it. And my dad has a huge collection of fake books, which I'm sure you know. A fake book is basically a book where the chord structure of the song has been broken down into like the simplest chords that you could possibly play to pull off this song, and it uses like the little box tab instead of like sheet music tab, and so it boils it down.
Right.
So you could sit around a campfire.
Yeah,
exactly.
He had a Beatles fake book and a Bob Dylan fake book.
He has tons of fake books, and I found the Big Chill fake book. And the reason that it worked for me is because we listened to that so much that I knew how the songs were supposed to sound. And so when
so you could translate it really quickly.
When I started playing it, I could be like, okay, I'm definitely making this chord right, and this transition to this next chord must be correct because it sounds like it does on the album. And so that was the first stuff that I started to learn. The Big Chill soundtrack.
That's amazing.
And then I watched the movie years later, and I didn't love it. It was a letdown compared to the music.
Yeah,
the music
I've never
is way better than the
of
movie.
That. I know it's not good. Well, yeah. I think the first song I learned was either Rainy Day Woman by Bob Dylan, which I did not understand as a 13-year-old, but loved how edgy it was. I didn't even know what I was singing about. Or there was a Cat Stevens song.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was on a Timberland commercial.
Oh,
remember that?
Lord.
Anyway.
No, but I remember we watched Harold and Maude
A
lot, and he did the soundtrack for
that. Right. That was so good.
That's still an amazing movie.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wish you all the best on this tour.
Thanks, Rob.
And I'm just really, really pumped about the show tonight. Thanks so much for being here in Lancaster with us.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Thanks for letting us into your house.
Hope for a Golden Summer's new album, Life Inside the Body, is available everywhere on May 1st. Find them online at hopeforagoldensummer.com or check them out on Facebook. Or, of course, you can link up to Hope from woodstovehouse.com, where you can also check out past episodes of the program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Find us online at woodstovehouse.com.